This morning, I'm continuing on in James, and we're starting in chapter 5. And the beginning portion here deals with the rich and the judgment that comes upon those who do not seek God with their riches, and what. How we should not live sometimes, maybe. I think we're very blessed in the country that we live. We don't have to worry about too many things about food or clothing too often. There are those that do have to worry about those things, but for the most part, I believe that we're all very well off compared to many other people in the world. And it is upon us that God has given these riches to, that we may disperse them as He sees fit and as He works in our lives. And it's kind of interesting that both myself and Richard will be doing a telethon this afternoon for the CMDA, which is the Canadian Moga Davida Dom, and that is to raise money for bringing ambulances to Israel. And it's kind of funny that how this kind of lines up, but it's not to say that we have to give money to certain things, but that as the Lord leads, that we would be led by His willing and His guidance as we give our money and as we use the money that He has given us to serve Him. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to James 5 and starting in verse 1. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. And you have lived in the earth in pleasure and luxury, and have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Divine judgment is coming upon those who misuse what God has given us by grace. If we look at the world and how it operates, we can see that the goals of the rich, from a secular point of view, is to hold on to the riches with one hand and to grab more with the other. The world is trying to gain, to move up in class, wealth, and along the way, stepping on a few fingers or toes is not a problem as long as it's not your own. It is the selfishness of the heart that is the key here. I don't believe that James had any problem with people being rich, but it had to do with the heart, how they got their money and how they spent it. I don't believe these were true Christians that James was directly speaking to. This is the major problem in the church then and now. They were saying they were Christians because it benefit them in some way, but there was never a true change in the heart, in the spirit. James makes it clear that throughout his message that the church, that as a result of believing in Jesus Christ and repenting of your sins, there should be a spiritual change. An outward work should show and change in your heart. An outward work to show that your heart is towards Jesus. Now, these rich that James is directing the message to may have been in the church, but they were not true Christians. These were wicked wealthy who profess Christian faith and have associated themselves with the church, but whose real God is money. Now, this may be directed at unbelievers in the church, but it is also a warning to believers who are in the church today, to us as well, that we are not immune to the powers of this world on our own, but that our faith and trust must be steadfast in Christ and His word, and that we need to humble our hearts to be content in whatever situation or whatever state we are in. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6, and starting in verse 1. Let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. Those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and belong and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men, of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain, from such withdraw yourself. Now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. No matter how rich you are, you share something in common with the poorest of poor. Death. We are all destitute, and that we all will come to death at some point in our lives. There is no escaping it. If we look at it, death is the great equalizer. No one will escape death because they have more money than the other person. Many believed, along with the pharaohs of Egypt, that they could take their wealth with them into the next life. But we know this is not true, for we see the possessions on display in museums. Even with this knowledge, many in this world still live as if this life is all that there is, and seek to accumulate great wealth, only to have it go to waste once they are gone. In verses 2 and 3, James says, "Your riches are corrupt, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasures in the last days." The folly of hoarding food, expensive clothing, or money is that they are all subject to decay, fire, theft, and other forms of loss. The rich will not profit, or the rich will not escape judgment. The only way to escape is through Jesus. Jesus in Matthew 16:26 says, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his own soul?" We need to be reminded that the frailty of life, we need to be reminded of the frailty of life, not that we worry or dwell upon it, but that we are to be reminded that we are sojourners here in this life. Our home is not here, but in heaven. We are not to be like the rich fool who yielded big crops and thought to himself to tear down his barns and build bigger, only to find death before his glory. Or the rich man in Lazarus, and where we see the rich man die in his wealth as well, and it was left to spoil. Death came to both of them, and death certainly separates a rich man from his money. There was an irreligious farmer who gloried in the fact that he was an agnostic. He wrote a letter to the local newspaper saying, "Sir, I've been trying an experiment with a field of mine. I plowed it on Sunday, I planted it on Sunday, I cultivated it on Sunday, I reaped it on Sunday. I hauled it into my barns on Sunday. And now, Mr. Editor, what is the result? I have more bushels to the acre in the field than any of my neighbors have had this October. The editor wasn't a religious man either, himself, but published the letter and wrote below it, God does not always settle his accounts in October. God has eternity ahead of him. It is the pride of the human heart that boasts in itself and does not consider God in their life. How should believers who have more than they need act? Turn back with me to 1 Timothy. And in chapter 6, verse 17, it says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but to in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, and that they may lay hold on eternal life. Where the earth is looking to store up treasure here, we as Christians should be looking to store up treasure in heaven. But even in our giving, we can be selfish and boasting in ourselves. We need to be submissive to our Lord and humble before God to allow him to lead us through the word. Jesus says in Matthew 6, 3 and 4, but when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. I always find it easier to speak of the good things that I've done, or personally find that it is easier to talk about the good things instead of my failures. There is an urge to show only our good side and leave all the bad stuff out. Even as Christians, we do this. But the portrait that we are to show to the world is not ourselves, but Christ and what he has done in us. It is the only thing in my own life that is worth showing. And it breaks down the pride of our own hearts when we put Christ first and the needs of others before our own. James is combating this pride in false converts who use poor for their gain. In verses 4, 5, and 6, he said, indeed, the wages of a laborer who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of the Sabaoth, which is the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury, and fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. James is combating this pride in false converts who use the poor for their gain. How we make money and how we spend it, God sees. The rich people in James were not Christians, and it seems as though they were getting away with the wrongs that they were doing to the poor. Today we see the rich seemingly getting away with the same wrongs as well. But God has reserved judgment for the wicked of this world. And in the next verses, we will see that James is coming to the comfort of the Lord. But we can rest today in the comfort of Jesus, in his finished work. It is not the one who has the biggest bank account in the end that matters, but the one who has put their trust in Lord and sought to build their heavenly kingdom and sought to build up their heavenly bank account. God has given wealth not to be hoarded, but to be dispensed in love of Christ, to give as Christ has given to us, that we may give the wealth that God has given us, and that we may share it abundantly with those who are in need. For it is not for us, for our own gain that we have this wealth, but it is to for those who are in need that God has given us this wealth to share. May God richly bless each and every one here this morning.